All right, so we are holding on Kufnun Aleph Omud Beis, about 15 lines from the bottom. Line begins Malchius. 14 lines from the bottom, yeah. We learned about we the last thing we had learned was about the good morning, Avraham Moshe. The last thing we learned was about the importance of giving tzedakah while you're still able to. So in particular, we were mentioning about it, and the Mishnah had talked about what you do for a mess right after he passes away, closing his eyes. We mentioned that. So we said the pasuk warns us toward the Shlomo HaMelech warns us towards the end of Kehelas to remember Hashem while you're still young, while you still have the capabilities. Good morning. And in particular, give tzedakah while you're still able to, while you still have poor people around, while you still have money, while you still have the ability. In other words, in particular, before Mashiach comes, whereas Rashi had said in Mashiach's times, there's not going to be any poor people anymore, and there's not going to be any Yetzirah to be stingy and not want to give. Although we said that Shmuel disagrees and says that Ein Ben Olam Haba, Ein Ben Olam Abali, Ein Ben Olam Azeli, Mosem Mashiach, Ela Shibud Malchius. So according to Shmuel, there will still be poor people at that time. So now continuing a little bit on that topic of giving tzedakah. Tanya, Rabbi Lazar HaKapo, Omer, La'olam yivakash odem rachmim al midah zu. A person should always daven for rachmim from Hashem about this midah that he shouldn't become poor and have to take tzedakah. Because it's a usual thing. Shem hu lo ba babnoi. If a person himself doesn't come to poverty, it's very likely his son will. Vim bnoi lo ba ben bnoi ba, and if not, then his grandson. It's a thing that goes round and round. Shenema ki biglau hadavar hazeh. The pasuk says, because of this thing, because you give tzedakah, therefore Hashem will do you chesed. And the word biglau, tonet ve'ra b'shmol, gaugul hu shechoz ba'olam. It's a wheel that turns around in the world. So in other words, it's a cyclical thing. It happens very often within a family, sometime within three generations, that a family becomes poor. And therefore, do tzedakah, so give tzedakah and daven for rachamim that it shouldn't happen to you and your family, that shouldn't happen, this natural cycle of that a person or his son or his grandson sometime within three generations becomes poor. You have to daven for rachamim for that, because otherwise the natural thing is it's going to happen. So Amar Rav Yosef, in this connection, Amar Rav Yosef, Naktinan, we have the Kabbalah from our Rebbeim, Hait Surva Merabonon Loi Mi'ani. A young Talmud Chacham does not become poor. So Moses says, what do you mean? V'hokach hazin in demi'ani. We do see that young Talmud Chachamim sometimes become poor. The answer is fine, but in Issa demi'ani, ahaduri apischa loy mahader. However, we may see that he becomes poor. What we don't see is that he gets to the point of having to beg by the doors. So either it means, in other words, on the surface level, what it means is exactly that. In other words, Hashem may cause that this young Talmud Chacham becomes poor, but he's not going to make him become so poor that he's going to have to go around begging for tzedakah. Different Mephoshim talk about. Marsha says, for example, what it may mean is, first of all, the young Talmud Chacham will... He has the midah of his stapkus mamuot, of making do with less. So if he finds that he's poor, he's not going to go and degrade himself to the point of begging by the doors. He'll make do with less. He'll make do with what he has rather than having to do that. So in that sense, he's never going to. Also, Marsha says typically he'll have friends, he'll have people who know him, that he's a young Talmud Chacham, and will help him out. There are a variety of chassidish avertlach on this line, though, that say that actually what the Gemara means is that if he becomes poor, it's as a result of aduri apischa loy mahader. It's a result of not being mahader, or not going around on the doors. And there's a variety of chassidish avertlach what that means. It means that he himself never went around to the doors to collect tzedakah for other people. So therefore now he Hashem may put him in this situation where he himself has to, or the door over here refers to Ner Chanukah, which maybe he wasn't so careful with, or it refers to Paseach HaSyodecha that we say in Ashrei, that he's not so careful with it, whatever it is. So according to those Vertlach, then according to those Tretlach, the idea is that he may actually become so poor as to have to beg by the doors. And the result of that is because of one or another of these mitzvahs that in the past he was careless with. Continues the Gemara. Rav Chiya tells his wife, "Ki osi anya, when a poor person comes to the door, akdimi le rifta, bring out bread for him as fast as possible." Meaning, don't even wait for him to ask. Bring it out before he even asks. Ki hecha dilakadmo livnach, and that way they'll do the same for your children when they're going around begging, that they'll give them bread before they even ask. Amr lei, so Rav Chiya's wife said, "What do you mean? They'll do that for my children." Melot kolaitis lahu. What are you cursing them that they're going to end up becoming poor and have to be begging for bread? Amalah. So he says, like we said before, krakoksiv. After all, it says a pasuk. Ki biglal hadavar azev atonad vera bishmo galgol shachoz ba'olam. It's a wheel that turns around in the world. It's a constant cycle where some people become poor and some people become rich. So the likelihood is that sometime in the next, either in the next generation or in the generation after that, our children or our descendants may be poor, and therefore, in order to head off at least that they shouldn't have to have the embarrassment of having to ask, then you do chesed for the poor people now, and Hashem will do midah keneged midah for them so that they at least shouldn't have to ask. Tanya, we learn in a braisa, Rav Gamliel b'Rebbe Omer, the pasuk says, v'nosam l'cha rachmim v'richam cha v'hirbecha, the pasuk says, Hashem will give you rachmim, and he will have mercy on you and increase you. So why the double expression? He'll give you mercy and increase, and he'll give you mercy and be merciful to you. So it means, a person who has rachmanos on other people, then Hashem has rachmanos on him, and vice versa, if he doesn't, then Hashem won't either. So v'nosan l'cho rachmim means Hashem will give you the ability to show rachmim, that you will have rachmim for other people, and as a result of that, v'richamcha, that Hashem himself will have rachmanos on you, which goes back to what we said yesterday from the Shev Shmaitza, although a little bit different. There was, as I said yesterday, it wasn't just a matter of having rachmim there. What the Shev Shmaitza was saying about the two people on the line over there was more than that, that the person actually has to feel within himself the oni. He has to feel within himself the zachar and the keva, the mashpia and the makabel, and then he's considered like two people. But he was saying in a more general way that a person has to have rachmim on other people, and then Hashem will have rachmanos on him.
Okay. Isn't that talking about an ir nidacha, that's why they need special rachamim, because they had to kill
the
people?
That's the context. The context is that it's talking about they just killed out a whole city, so therefore, so it's saying that Hashem will show you rachamim. Don't worry that you're going to end up being a cool person because of that. That's true, but more generally, the Gemara is saying over here that it refers to this idea of kolam racham al abrius, etc.
Right. Okay. But he said to his wife, Why not to our children? Why only your children?
It's a good question. It might be that she had previously been married and had children of her own. It might be that since he's telling her what to do, so he wants to focus on what her children are, on what her children. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, let's go on. So now the Gemara is going to go back to, we started yesterday darshaning the psukim at the end of Kehelos over there, where again, where Shlomo tells us, "Zchoras barecha b'mei b'choresecha," remember Hashem while you're still young and while you still have your strength, and do tshuva then rather than when you're old and weak. And he goes on with several psukim that give a metaphor for what happens, how the body breaks down when a person gets older. So now the Gemara is going to go through those psukim and explain them one at a time. The pasuk says Ada Sherlei Techshach Hashemesh Va'or. The pasuk says so. The first pasuk says before the sun and the light dim. The whole pasuk goes Ada Sherlei Techshach Hashemesh Va'or VaYareach VaKechavim VeShavu Avim Achar Hageshem. The pasuk says before the sun and the light and the moon dim and the stars dim and the clouds return after the rain. So the Gemara goes through those phrases. Ada shela techshach hashemesh va'or. What's represented in the human body by the sun and the light. Zupadachas v'hachotem. This refers to the forehead and the nose. The forehead, in particular, Rashi explains, is compared to the sun, because in a young person, their forehead is smooth, so it's bright and shiny like the sun, and then when a person gets older, it gets wrinkled. As far as the nose is called because the main appearance of a person's face depends on the nose. In fact, you have an halacha in order to recognize a person's face. If a person, you find a body and you need to identify it to see to know that his wife should be able to remarry, the halacha is you have to be able to see the forehead and the nose. Those are the main features of the face. So therefore, we're calling those the sun and the light. The moon refers to the neshama. So the moon is called the neshama because the neshama shines in the body. Ner Hashem nishmas adam, Rashi quotes the pasuk. The stars refers to the cheeks. So Rashi over here doesn't explain why. Rashi on the pasuk explains because again, a person has a beard. So the skin of their cheeks like peeks through in the different places behind their beard, like stars peeking through the sky. And the pasuk continues, "V'shavua avim achar agoshem." The clouds will return after the rain. What does that mean? Zuma ur einav shel adam shaholach achar abechi. This refers to the eyesight of a person's eyes, which goes away after crying, meaning a person cries at various times during their life, and especially a person is more prone to do that when they're older because they're weaker, they have more tzaras and whatever, and their eyesight goes with that. So in that connection, Amar Shmuel, Haidim Asa Ada Boin Shnin Hadra. So Shmuel says, when a person cries up to 40 years old, those tears will be restored. In other words, the moisture and the effect of those tears will still come back to him, Mikan Ve'elach Loi Hadra, but after that, it's irreversible. So in other words, that's what we're saying. A person after 40 is crying, then it has an effect eventually on their eyesight. V'Amar Rav Nachman, similarly, Rav Nachman said, Hai Kuchla, The eyeshadow, which we've learned a few times in the Masechta already, there was a certain kind of eyeshadow. They used it as mascara. They used it as makeup, but they also used to paint on the eye itself. They used to paint on or in the eye itself to heal the eye or whatever. So Ada Boinshnin Marvach, so Rav Nachman says, up until a person is 40 years old, it improves a person's eyesight. Mikan ve'elach, after that, afilu malya ka'avisna de gudoi, even if a person were to use an applicator for this eyeshadow, the size of a weaver's beam, which is very, very thick, oikame moikim, all it does is it preserves the person's eyesight as it is right now, avuchi le marvach, but it doesn't do anything to improve the eyesight. And we know when a person gets older, the lenses of their eyes stiffen up. They have more trouble seeing close up. So Shmuel is saying that as far as tears, and Rav Nachman is saying that as far as this koichel, this eyeshadow, that there's a difference between before 40 and after 40. So the Gemara says, "My Kamashmalon, what is Rav Nachman telling us with this expression about an applicator as thick as a weaver's beam?" And the point that he wants us to know, dekama de'alem makhula tfei mali. In general, the larger the applicator you use to apply this coil, the better it is. So over here, he's saying that after you're 40, even you use a really thick one, which when you're below 40, it would actually do your eyes some good and help improve your eyesight. But now after 40, it doesn't help improve your eyesight. All it does is prevent things from deteriorating further. In connection with this also, so we said that a person crying, it weakens their eyesight, especially we're saying after 40. So the Gemara tells, Rab Chanina Shchivale Brate, Rab Chanina's daughter passed away, Loi Havaka Bochi Allah, and he wasn't crying for her. So his wife says to him, "Why are you not crying? Do you not care? Would you just send a chicken out of your house or something that you don't care?" Amrullah, so he answers to her, Tauti tichla v'ivra. Do you want me to suffer two things, both that I'm bereaved, that I lost a child, and that I'm going to become blind? Because again, like we're saying, the too much crying is going to make him blind. In fact, Rabbi Yaakov Emden says it might be. I mean, normally, of course, a person does cry after a relative passes away. Oh, good morning, Aaron. It might be that in this case, Taka, he was already old, and he realized, he knew where he's holding, and he realized that at this point in his life, if he cries, it's likely to harm his eyesight. Ben Yoyada talks about this a little bit. He says, why does she use the expression, you sent out of your house? What is it, his fault that his daughter passed away? She's saying, maybe yes. After all, we learned earlier in the Masechta that if a person doesn't cry when an Adam Kosher passes away, when an Erlich Hayid passes away, then Hashem may make him lose his children. So she's saying, look at this, now you're not crying for her. You probably didn't cry earlier when some Adam Kosher passed away, and that's why now this happened to us. And he tells her, no, you're wrong. Back then, I did cry for such a person, for an Adam Kosher. But now, I'm afraid to, because I'm afraid that it's going to harm my eyesight, and then I'm going to end up with both, a lost child and weakened eyesight. So the Gemara says, Savalaki hada amar Rabbi Yechanan mishum Rabbi Yosi ben Katsarta. So in saying this, Rabbi Chanina holds like what Rabbi Yechanan says in the name of Rabbi Yosi ben Katsarta, which he says, Sheish Dmar Yisein, there's six kinds of tears. Shalish Yofis for Shalish Rois. Three of them are good for you, three of them are bad for you. Shal Oshan v'shal Bechi v'shal Besakise Rois. The ones from smoke or from crying or from straining at, in the Besakise, in the bathroom, all of those are bad for you. On the other hand, shall sam v'shal schoik v'shal peris, the ones that come from sam, like from medicine that you apply to the eye, or other powders or things like that you apply to the eye, or eye drops or whatever, which cause a person to tear up, or shall schoik, tears of laughter, or shall peris, or that you get from certain kinds of sharp produce, like, for example, Rashi says mustard, or bapashtos, also other things like onions or chrein or whatever, those kind, yofos, those kinds are good for you. So we see, in other words, that tears of crying are bad for you, and that's what Rav Chanina is saying. There is a Pesher Agadta says on this, a little vort. He says, besides the simple meaning, it also means that we're talking about, for example, tears of smoke, refer to, for example, the kind of tears that a person has when they're angry, so those are bad for you. Shal Bechi, meaning, for example, when a person cries over the Yisurim that they have, because a person should accept the Yisurim that they get, whatever Hashem gives them, they should accept Ba'ava. And shall basically say, I don't remember what he says, but yeah, we'll also show you, Rashi says, mitoch yisurin, so the same idea, in other words, that a person has yisurim, and he cries over that, so those are bad for you, because when a person has yisurim, as we know all over in the Gemara, a person is supposed to accept them, ba'ava, knowing that Hashem knows what he's doing. All right, going back now to the psukim in Kehelas, and darshaning them, so the next pasuk says, the next pasuk goes like this: By Yom Shiyazu'u Shomer Abayis, on the day that the watchmen of the house shake or shudder, these Absu Anshei Achoyel, these strong men become crooked. The grinders become, the grinders stop working because there were fewer of them. And the things that look through the skylights become dim. So what does all this mean? By Yom Shiyazur Shemer Abayis Veis Absu V'Gomer. By Yom Shiyazur Shemer Abayis Elo Aksolim V'Atzlois. When the Pasuk says, on the day that the watchmen of the house shake, Elo Aksolim V'Atzlois, this refers to the sides of a person and his ribs, those the side, the flanks of a person, and the ribs protect a person's insides. A person's chayus depends on them. So therefore, when a person becomes old, then those shake and those become weak and they're not serving their function as well of protecting the inside of his body. These avsu anshei choyel elu shekayim. The pasuk continues: the mighty men become crooked. That refers to the legs. A person's whole weight rests on his legs. But when a person gets older, then his legs don't function as well. Uvotlu atoichenos, the pasuk says, the grinders cease to work. Elu shinayim, that means the teeth. V'choshko haroyes ba'arubas elu einayim, and when it says the things that look through the skylights become dim, elu einayim, that means the eyes become dim in old age. So before we had it can become dim because a person is crying. Now we're talking more generally. Even if a person doesn't cry that much, nevertheless, still in old age, their eyesight goes. So the Gemara interjects with a story. The emperor one time asked Rabbi Shur ben Chananya, why aren't you coming to Bei Avidan? Now we learned earlier in the Masechta, we learned in the 16th Perek about Bei Avidan. Rashi over there and over here explains that it's a place where the Goyim would have debates on Psukim with Jews. More generally, Rabbi Hananel says it's more generally a place where chachamim from different nations would come to argue on philosophy and then whatever. So Rabbi Yeshua used to go to that and now the Kesar asks him why he doesn't go there anymore. Omalei, so Rabbi Yeshua answers him with a metaphor. Tur tlag, the mountain is snowy, meaning that my hair is now white. Sachranoi glidin, around the mountain is icy. meaning Rashi says, so not just the hair on my head, but also my mustache and my beard become white because I'm old. Kal bohi lo navchin. Oh, good morning, Ellie. Kal bohi lo navchin. The dogs don't bark anymore, meaning that I can't, that my voice is weak and nobody hears it anymore. Tachanohi lo tachnin. The grinders, meaning my teeth, are not grinding anymore. And Bei Rav Amri, and they added in Bei Rav another detail that Rabbi Yeshua said, Adloy Avidna Bachishna. I'm looking around for things that I didn't lose. Meaning, Rashi says, an old person walks bent over. So he looks, when you see him walking around bent over, it looks like he's walking, like he's bent down looking for something, but of course he's not. He's just bent down because he's old. So in other words, the point is Rabbi Yeshua is saying that I'm old and I can't come anymore. A couple of different explanations on that last one, Adloya Vidna Bachishna, is also, it means, you know, when a person gets old, sometimes their memory goes. So like he's looking for something and he can't find where he put it, and really it's with him. We all have the experience, for example, looking for our glasses and then finding they're right there on the top of our head, for example. So similar things like that. Rabbi Hanan also has another one. It means also like an old person doesn't look straight ahead. He has to feel ahead in front of him to make sure, because again, his eyesight is weak, so he has to feel around ahead of him to make sure there's nothing ahead of him that he's going to bang his head into or something, so it looks like he's looking for something when really he's not. So the point is, again, Rabbi Yeshua is saying, I'm old and I can't come to this Bei Avidan anymore. The Anaf Yosef, Anen Yaakov, says a deeper idea of it is he's also saying that the Kesar is wondering how, if Rabbi Yeshua is not coming anymore, then who's going to be refuting the Minim? Not that the Kesar cares. I mean, he's a Goy. He would be just as happy if the Goyim win in these debates. But he's asking, you, Rabbi Yeshua, aren't you concerned that nobody's going to be able to refute them anymore, and therefore people are going to start believing in them? And Rabbi Yeshua is answering him with the metaphor that when he says that I'm old, it also includes in it that they themselves don't have the ability to argue as much as they did before. In particular, when he says, Kal boi lo navchin, the dogs aren't barking anymore, it means that they don't have the ability to bark and to make their arguments anymore, because Hashem arranges it that way. When there's nobody available to defend the Jewish people, the Gemara mentions this point in Chagiga, then that Rabbi Yeshua himself mentions the same point, that when there's nobody available to defend the Yidden, then Hashem makes it that the Goyim themselves lose their ability to argue so forcefully against them. Because Hashem always makes it that there should be somebody to be able to stand up against them, and if there's not going to be anybody, then Hashem makes them unable to argue coherently either. Continuing on this topic of old age, Tanya Rabbi Yosi bar Kisma Omer, Tova Trei Mitlas. It's better when a person has two than three, meaning when a person is younger, they walk on two legs, as opposed to when they're older, they need a cane, so like now they need three legs. Vaila Lachoda de Ozla Vlaasya. Woe to the one thing about that goes away and never returns. Maihi, so what is that one thing that it's worth crying about, that it's gone and never returns? Amar Rav Chista Yankus says, so Rav Chista says, it means youth. Youth goes away and it never comes back. He also of Dimi Omer. In fact, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said an expression on this. Yankusa klila devarda, youth is like a crown of roses. Savusa klila de chilfa, old age is like a crown of thorns. So in other words, a person is young. Marshall explains. The point is, roses eventually fade; thorns stay thorns. So the point is that the point is, therefore, that youth goes away and never returns. And then, meanwhile, a person gets old, and that's it. You know, they don't improve when they get old. One meaning of it, Ben Yoyada points out, besides the obvious meaning, it's also the whole point is Shlomo is bringing this thing about old age to tell a person to do tshuva when he's young. So this goes with it also. It's a person is better when they're younger. Why? Not so much because they're physically stronger, but because then they have the better ability to do a full tshuva, to be able to do tshuva when they're still strong and have all their faculties and whatever, and then they do tshuva and stay away from those averas. That's a much more powerful kind of tshuva than the kind a person does when he's old and can't do anything anyway.
Can you say that Shlomo HaMelech, since he passed away young, he thought that maybe he could do tshuva later on in life, but all of a sudden he passed away. Now he's telling people to go away.
It's certainly possible. We don't know. Yeah. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Tana Mishmei de Rav Meir, Doik Bekachi Betishchach Benigri. It says in a braisa in the name of Rav Meir, eat a lot. Doik b'kache means like chew carefully with your teeth. B'tishkach b'nigri, and you'll find the result of it in your steps. When you eat a lot when you're younger, then it strengthens your steps. As you have an expression in a pasuk where the people say to Yirmiyah, it used to be we were satisfied with bread and we were all good and we never saw any bad. So in other words, like the fact that they ate made them strong. In particular, Marsha says this has to do with, in other words, we're talking about when a person is younger. The fact when a person is younger, they eat and improve their strength. That carries over to old age as well, that they're not as weak as they otherwise would be. So therefore, it fits with what we were just saying about old age versus youth, that a person has to be careful when they're young to eat, and then begashmius and also beruchnius, in order that now that at least they have some residual strength when they get old. So in this connection, Amalei Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda, Shinina, sharp one, which was Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel's favorite name for Rabbi Yehuda, all over Shas, Shori Sakach V'Ayel Lachmach, open up your sack, meaning Rashi says your mouth, and put in your food. In other words, also he's suggesting to him, he's telling him that he should eat healthy when he's young. Because you should know, ad aboin shnin mechlamali, up until you're 40 years old, eating is good for you. Mikan ve'elach mishti mali, after that, it's more drinking that's good for you. So you have to make sure to eat to eat healthy when you're young, because that will help you more when you get older. Besides the simple surface meaning of it, there's also other meanings that Mephoshim talk about. It means that I think there's something from the Vilna Gaon, for example, that says that eating refers to Nigla and drinking refers to Nister, refers to Torah Sakabala, and whatever. So therefore, in other words, up to 40, a person's main area of learning should be Nigla, and after that, they should be focusing more on Nister, more on Torah Sakabala, Chassidus, whatever. Also there's an idea that I saw, something along the lines of that when you're younger, you should beat the Yetzer Hara by reminding him that Yetzer Hara tries to tell you when you're younger, like you just said, Yaakov, you know, you have plenty of time. You're young, you still have many years before you, you still have plenty of time to do tshuva. So you tell him, listen, I don't want my tshuva and my mitzvahs to be like food, which has been sitting out for a long time and is spoiled. I want it to be like fresh food. So I want to do mitzvahs and do tshuva right away. And when you were old, when you're old, your Yetzer Hara is likely to say, look, you know, you're old, forget about it, your life is almost over, what are you going to bother to do tshuva now? So you remind him, listen, you know, on the other hand, drinks are good when they're old, wine, for example, is better when it's aged, so therefore I'm better off doing mitzvahs now. So you use food as an argument against the Yetzer Hara when you're younger, and you use drink as an argument against the Yetzer Hara when you're older. There's a vote like that, I think, from the Kotzker or from one of the Gerer Rebbeim or something. Okay. Another thing, sort of related to what we were talking about before, because one thing that happens when a person gets old is they often go bald. So the Gemara tells, Amaleyahu goyza'a l'Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha, a certain soris, who was also at Tzduki, one time says to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha in a mocking way. Now, so Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha was bald. In fact, we had a couple of days ago, we talked about the Tosfos discussed a long question. Is Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha the same as, is he in fact the son of Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva is actually called in the Gemara, Ben Azai calls him in Brachas, Hakireya Chazer, this bald one. So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha apparently was bald also. So if we say he was Rabbi Akiva's son, which Tosfos brings that up as a possibility, then it might have been something hereditary. If not, Tosfos says he might have just been the son of somebody else named Korcha, not related to Rabbi Akiva, but still apparently we see from our Gemara over here that when he got old, he went bald. So this Tzduki, who happened to also be a Soris, a castrated person, took the opportunity to make fun of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha. So he says to him, Mehochala Karchina Kamahavi, how far is it from here to Karchina? Now, Karchina is an actual name of a place, but it's also Meloshin Kereach, Meloshin baldness. So therefore, he's using it as like to make fun of Rabbi Yehoshua, like how far is it until bald town? And it's like to make fun of him for his baldness. Amalei, so Rabbi Yehoshua answers him, "Kimehachol Gezania, the same distance as it is from here to Gezania. Gezania, Meloshin Goza, Meloshin Soris, Meloshin a castrated person. So the same distance as there is from here to Bald Town is the same distance as there is from here to castrated town. In other words, you have a mum. You're making fun of me for my mum of baldness. You should realize you have a big, you have just as big a mum, maybe a bigger one even." Amalei Tzedukah. So this same Tzedukah says to him, I'll give Borcha Karcha Barba, a bald goat you can buy for 4 zuzim. A goat is considered, is called bald relative to a sheep, because sheep have wool and goats don't. But again, he's trying to make, he's making fun of him for his baldness. Like, all you are is like a goat that's only worth 4 zuzim. Amalei, so Rabbi Yeshua answers him, Ikra Shlifa Batmanya, Enu, and by the same token, a sheep that was castrated, you can buy for 8 zuzim. And as Marsha says, also he's saying, like, you're trying to say, like, I'm not very important. You should know you're not really all that important either. A castrated animal is all, his whole mila is that he's castrated. So you also, like, your whole mila is that is that you're a castrated person. So don't be making fun of me for my boldness. Next, Chazir Delay Sayim Misane, the Tzduki, then noticed that Rabbi Shua was not wearing shoes. Now, why was he not wearing shoes? Actually, the Mefarshim Shtelzach on this. We learned earlier in the Masechta that it's very, very important to wear shoes. In fact, we said a person should sell the beams of their house and buy shoes if necessary. So how is it that Rabbi Shua is not wearing shoes over here? So a number of the Mefarshim say that this story may have happened on Yom Kippur or on Tisha B'Av, so you're not allowed to wear shoes. But in any case, the Tzduki used that as an excuse to make fun of Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. He says to him, Omale, Dal Sus Melech. So the Tzduki says to Rabbi Yeshua, you should know, a person who rides on a horse is a king. Dal Chamer Ben Chur, and a person who at least rides on a donkey is at least a free person. Udamin Ole Bidaglohi Bar Inish, a person who doesn't have either of those things, neither an animal, a horse or a donkey to ride on, but at least he has shoes, at least Bar Inish, at least he's a human being. Deloy hov. A person doesn't have any of those things, no animal to ride on, and no shoes even to wear. So he's walking barefoot. Dechof recover tavminei. A person who is dead and buried is better off than him. So again, using that as an excuse to make fun of Rabbi Yeshua. Amalei, so Rabbi Yeshua answers him, Goiza, Soris. Tlas Amritli, you just told me 3 things, a horse, a donkey, and shoes. Tlas Shamit, I'm going to answer, you're going to hear back 3 things. Had Rasponim Zokan, the beauty of a person's face, of a man's face, is his beard. Simcha Slave Isha, what makes a person's heart happy is when he's married to a wife. Nachlas Hashem Bonim, the heritage that Hashem gives a person as children. Well, you're a Soris, you don't have any of those. Baruch HaMakom Shemenacham Mikulam, so blessed is Hashem who prevented you from having any of those things. You're a Soris, you don't have any of those things. A Soris never grows a beard. And a soris can't get married. Al pi halacha, you could technically marry a gyoris or a mamzeris or whatever, but practically speaking, he doesn't usually. And of course, he doesn't have children. So you're making fun of me. You're saying that I don't have any of the 3 things that you're talking about. So Baruch Hashem, you don't have any of the 3 things that a person is supposed to have either. Amalei, the Soris, the Tzduki, is very offended. Amalei, Karcha Mitsuyana, you argumentative goat. Again, he's calling him a goat, because like we said, a goat doesn't have wool, so like, in other words, you're bald. And Mitsuyana, Meloshin Matzo Meriva, like, what are you starting up with me? Amalei, and so Rabbi Yeshua answers him, Ikra Shlifa Teichecha. What you Soris are starting up, and Teichecha, you're trying to give me Musa. You're the one who started up with me, and you're Dacha Soris. You're a Soris. You're a castrated person, and you have no business doing any of that. So Marsha explains a little differently. The word Mitsuyana, not Meloshin Matzo Meriva, not Meloshin fighting, but Meloshin, like, you're distinguished with your baldness. Like, your baldness is a clear mum on you. In fact, the halacha, a Kohen who's bald is possible to do the Avodah. So Rabbi Yeshua answers him, you should realize something, your mum, that you're a Soris, is a bigger mum. Because in fact, it says explicitly in the Torah. It says, and it's a mum at any age. Baldness is a natural thing when a person gets older. Okay, it can be a mum, but at least it's a more natural thing than being a soris. So that's more of a toichecha, like that's more of a reproof against you that you're in that situation. Okay, deeper meanings behind all this, Ben Yehoyada talks about at some length that they're arguing about the respective places. of Yaakov and Esav, the Jewish people and the Goyim in the world, and the Tzaduki is making fun of him, like you're like the original Yaakov, Heina Noichi Ish Cholok, that Yaakov says on himself, I'm a smooth-skinned person, and you're following in that also because you're bald, and therefore you don't have whatever advantages there are, Api Torah and Api Kabbalah, whatever, of having hair. And Rabbi Yeshua is telling him that on the other hand, you're a Soris, you don't have any ongoing future, whereas we Jewish people are always going to continue to exist and to flourish, and they're going back and forth like that, arguing about the respective places in the world of the Jew and the Goy. Okay. Going back to old age, Omale Rebbe Lirb Shimon Chalafta. So one time Rebbe asked Rebbe Shimon Chalafta, Mipnei ma lo hikbalnu panecha beregel kederach shehikbilu avoysai laivesecha. Why did we not greet you on Yom Tov the way that my fathers greeted your fathers? Now really, he means the other way around. In other words, usually the other chachamim are supposed to come visit the Nasi. Rebbe is the Nasi. But he's using an expression about Nivus. We know from the end of Sota that Rebbe was the famous Anav. The Mishnah says over there, Mishnah Mes Rebbe Botla Nova. So Rebbe uses a humble expression. Why didn't I come to you on Yom Tov the way my ancestors came to yours? But he means actually the other way around. Why didn't you come to greet me on Yom Tov the way that your ancestors used to greet mine? Omalei, so and Reb Shimon Chalafta answers, Sloyim Nasu Groyim, the rocks on the road became tall, and it was even the little rocks on the road, because I'm old. They feel tall to me, and it's very hard to walk. Kroivim nasu rechokim. The things that used to be close now seem much further away. Or another meaning of it is also like things that I used to be able to see up close. Now they look far away. You know, because a person's eyesight for close up things goes. Nowadays they would use bifocals for it. Mishtayim nasu shalosh, the two now became three, because like we said before, he has to use a cane, so now like he has to have a third leg with him all the time. Mesim shalom b'bayis bottle, and the thing that brings shalom in the house is no longer functioning. What is the thing that brings shalom in the house? Rashi says aver tashmish. It means the aver is no longer functional. Now, why is that relevant to the fact that he can't go and visit Rebbe? Rabbi Yaakov Emden explains, because like this, if he goes on a trip over Yom Tov, so his wife is not going to be happy with that. So how could he make it up to her? When he gets home, he would have relations with her. In fact, we know Api Halacha, a man comes home from a trip. If his wife is tahor, he's supposed to be poiked his wife at that time. But so Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta is saying, I'm old. I don't have that capability anymore. Therefore, I have no way of, if I go away and my wife doesn't like it, I have no easy way of making shalom like I used to. As far as the kerovim nasa rechokim, Rashi brings a second explanation that when a person is young, he's able to keep his feet together and still keep his balance. But when a person gets older, he has to keep his feet spread a little further apart in order to keep his balance. Anyway, the point is, again, Rabbi Shimon Chalafta is saying, with all of these things, that I'm old and I don't have the capabilities I used to, and therefore I wasn't able to come visit you on Yom Tov. Okay. Continuing now with the next pasuk from Kehelas, in this perek of Kehelas that we've been darshaning. The next pasuk goes like this: V'sugru d'lasayim bashuk, the doors will close in the marketplace, b'shfal kol atachna, because the sound of the grinding is low. The yokum l'kolat zipper, he will get up to the sound of a bird. The yishachu kol b'nei sashir, and all of the girls that sing are low down. So what does that mean? V'sugur b'lasayim b'ashuk v'gayim. The pasuk says the doors will close up in the marketplace. Elon nekavav shaladim, that refers to a person's orifices. When a person goes to the bathroom, when he gets older, he has a harder time going to the bathroom. B'shval kol atachna, and that is because the sound of the grinding is low, meaning b'shval kurkavan she'en atochen, because the stomach doesn't grind up the food properly, and therefore the person has a harder time with going to the bathroom. Their digestive system doesn't work so well anymore. Kurkavan usually means in the narrow sense, it means the stomach of a bird, but in a wider sense, the Gemara sometimes uses it about the stomach of a person also.
Why don't you say he may not have all his teeth and he can't eat the food too?
Because we already mentioned the teeth in the previous pasuk. We said uvot lo atochenos kimi etu, and we said uvot lo atochenos elu shinaim. So now, if it's mentioning again b'shval kol atachna, then it has to mean something else that grinds, namely the stomach. Yeah. Okay, the pasuk continues. V'yakum l'kolat tzipor. He gets up at the sound of a bird, meaning shafilut tzipor minaharta mishnasa. Even a bird wakes up. An old person doesn't sleep as well. They sleep very lightly, and even the sound of a bird chirping is enough to wake them up. V'yishachu kol b'nei sashir. And when the pasuk continues, all the girls that sing become low, meaning shafilu kol shirim v'shiros or shorim v'shoros. Even the sound of men or women singing, domus olav kishucha, feels like a low down, like a pit to him, because like he can't hear the sounds clearly anymore. So it just sounds like a mumble to him. And in fact, the Gemara says, "Va'af Barzilai Hagil Odi Amal David." In fact, we found Barzilai Hagil Odi says such a thing to David. So Barzilai Hagil Odi is you have when David had to escape Yerushalayim because Avshalom had rebelled against him and taken over the kingship. So David ran away and wound up with his men on the other side in Ever Yarden. So the pasuk describes over there was this guy there, Barzilai, who was very rich, and he provided food and other things for David and his men as long as they were there. Eventually, Avshalom was killed in battle, and David is on his way back to Eretz Yisrael proper, to out west of the Yarden, to Yerushalayim. And he offers Barzilai, he says, "I want to pay you back you for the chesed you did to me. You took care of me all this time. How about you come join me in Yerushalayim and I'll take care of you over there?" And Barzilai answers, he says, "I don't want to." He says, "Ben shmonim shana anochi hayom. I'm 80 years old now. Ha'eda ben tov l'ra. Do I know the difference between good and bad anymore?" So we see from this, the Gemara interjects, Mikan shedaitan shedeosin shel skenim mishtanis. You see from that old people, their das changes. Like he's saying, in other words, I can't tell the difference between good and bad anymore. He doesn't have his wits about him anymore. And im yitam abdecha esa she'oichal ve'esa she'eshte, he continues in the pasuk, "I can't even taste your servant," meaning I can't even taste what I eat and drink anymore. So mikan shesif sesenshal skenim misraptos, we see from that old people's lips become chapped, so they can't enjoy their food anymore. Or another explanation of misraptos is that Reno Hanano says their lips become loose. They're exactly that. Their lips become loose, like you have sometimes old people, like their lips are not as tight anymore, and they drool or whatever. So yeah. Im eshma oid b'kol shorim v'shoros, and Barzilai says, "I can't even hear the sound of men or women singing anymore." Mikan shalznam shal skenim miskabdos. So you see that old people's ears become heavy, because they're not able to hear as well anymore. So the pasuk in Kehelas is expressing the same idea with the shachu kol b'nos hashir, that all of the singing, any of the singing that he hears, just feels like a mumble to him. So the Gemara tells, the Gemara continues, Amar Rab Barzilai Hagil Odi shakra haba. This Barzilai Hagil Odi was a liar. It can't possibly be that at 80 years old he was already feeling all these things. And so the point is, the pasuk continues, he says to David, "So there's no sense in me going to Yerushalayim. Anything you want to give me in Yerushalayim, I'm not going to benefit from it anyway. I may as well stay back in my hometown." So Rav is saying Barzilai is actually lying. He didn't want to go to Yerushalayim. He didn't want to leave his hometown. So he's using these as an excuse, but not that he really was suffering from all these symptoms. And I can prove it, says Rav. Dahi amsa dahavya be Rebbe, because there was a maidservant who was in Rebbe's household, Bastishin Batautin Shnin, she was 92, so much older than Barzilai, who was saying he's 80, Bahamas Tamar Kidra, and she was still able to taste the food in the pot and see whether the food tastes good or not. So you see that even she was 12 years older than Barzilai is, and she still had her sense of taste. So what is Barzilai saying? That he has no sense of taste anymore. Corona, yeah. Rava Omar, Rava says, no, Barzilai wasn't lying, but what it is Barzilai Giladi shot of bezima haba. He was very much into znus. He did znus, so maybe it doesn't even have to mean znus, doesn't even have to mean illegal znus. It could even mean just that he's doing too much tashmish, even with his own wife or whatever, throughout his lifetime. B'cholha, shot of bezima, zikna kefetzis olav, it has that effect on a person. Too much tashmish weakens a person. This is, I think, in fact, I think today's Perek Echad of Rambam, I think the Rambam mentions this point, that too much tashmish has a bad effect on a person's health. So Barzilai Giladi was like that, and that's why at 80 already he was having these symptoms of old age. But really, if he hadn't been, then he would have been much stronger and much healthier long after. Okay. Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yosi Omer, Talmidei Chachamim. Now this is the Gemara is bringing it over here as a Braisa. It's actually a Mishnah at the end of Kinim, One possibility is you have certain Masechtos where it seems that there was a Braisa that was added to the end of the Mishnayos that Rebbe originally composed. So this might be like that also. So the Mishnah at the end of Kinim says, Tamar HaChamim kol zman shemaskin in chochman et esefes behem. Tamar HaChamim, the older they get, the more chochma is increased in them. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Bishishim chochma v'orech yamim tvona. In old people there is chachma, and in length of life there is understanding. On the other hand, v'amei ha'oretz kol zman shemaskin in tapshus nitesefes ben. Amei ha'oretz, like Barzilai, we were just saying, the older they get, the more foolishness there comes in them. Shenema, as the pasuk says, meisu safal anemonim v'tam skenim yikach. As the pasuk says, Hashem takes away the ability to speak, suffer, the ability to speak from ne'monim, from the ones who were trustworthy, or Mefarshim Rav Pasuk also say, ne'monim can mean the ones who used to be able to speak well, Meloshon Ne'um Hashem, but Tam Skenim Yikach, and he takes away the understanding of the old people. So in other words, on the face of it, the Pesukim contradict themselves, but the answer is one's talking about the Chachamim, and one's talking about the Amei Aretz. Okay. Going back now to the Pesukim, again, going back to the Pesukim in Kehelas about old age. And by the way, I mean, the Gemara is darshaning all these Pesukim over here in connection with old age of a person. Rashi over there, after he brings all these explanations, Rashi on the Pesukim over there also brings from the Medrash that each one of these things also refers to something that happened on a national level to the Jewish people, how we lost the various things we used to have. We had Malchus, we had Kohona, we had a Beis Mikdash, we had a Sanhedrin, et cetera, and how all these things are lost, and how Shlomo is warning the Jewish people, do tshuva before those things are lost. The Rashi mentions it on the Pesukim in Kehelas over there. In Kehelas, yeah. Okay. So the next pasuk continues, Gam mi gavoya yiru. So the next pasuk goes like this. Gam mi gavoya yiro, they're also afraid of heights, v'chaschatim baderech, and there's fear and terror on the road, v'yonetz ha'shoked, and the almond tree blossoms, v'yistabal ha'chogav, the grasshopper becomes heavy, v'safar ha'aviyona, and the aviyona becomes bottle, becomes nullified. So what does this mean? So gam mi gavoya yiro means shafilu gav shushis ktana doima olav kahore horim. Even an old person, even a tiny little hill on the road, feels like him like a mountain on top of a mountain. Because like Reb Shimon Chalafta said before, he's old and he's walking very carefully. So even a tiny little rise in the ground is a very heavy thing for him to get over. V'chaschatim baderech, and the pasuk continues, those fear on the road, meaning b'shosh mahalach baderech nasu lo tvohim. As he walks on the road, he's constantly fearful. Tvohim, Rashi says, means pchodim, means fear. The word chatzchatim, we're darshaning as maloshin tvohim, because a hey and a ches are often interchangeable in drushes. So it means, so he's constantly having tvohim, he's constantly fearing that he's going to trip, or something. The word chatzchatim itself, the Mefarshim on the pasuk explain, is maloshin chavayhi chita salikim, so it means fear. The pasuk continues, the almond tree blossoms. That means zukaliboses, that means the hip bones, because when a person is old, their hip bones stick out. Like this, when a person is younger, they're covered by muscles, and when a person gets old, those muscles waste away, and then the hip bones stick out. The istabala chogav, the chogav becomes heavy. Elu agovos, this refers to the person's buttocks. The chogav, ogav, again, ches and ayin are interchangeable a lot of times in drushes. And so it means like the person's buttocks feel like a heavy burden that he's schlepping along behind him. V'safar ha'aviyona zuchemda. And when the pasuk continues, the aviyona goes away. Aviyona is maloshin ova, maloshin desire. So zuchemda, this refers to the person has a taiva, for tashmish. So that goes away when he gets older. So the Gemara tells in this connection, Rav Kahana have a posik sidra kamei de Rav. Rav Kahana was one time reading and explaining psukim in front of Rav, who was his Rebbe. Ki mota lahaikra, when Rav Kahana reached this posik, the safra havayona, nogid va'atnach. Rav sighed and krechtzed. Omar, so Rav Kahana said to himself, Shmamina botale chemda de Rav. I see from that, the fact that Rav sighed when he heard that line, that his chemda, that his taiva for his wife is gone. Now, why is Rav sighing about that again? Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, like we said before, Mesim Sholem Abayis, that kind of thing, it helps create peace between husband and wife. And now Rav is sighing over the fact that he doesn't have that ability anymore to be poiked at his wife and to make her feel better. In particular, actually, we find in a Gemara in Yevamos actually that Rav's wife was a very tough lady, and she gave him a lot of tzaris. So therefore, it's like at least he's able up until this point to be able to help her in that way. But now he doesn't even have that ability. She was not burning everything, but she was doing everything backwards. She was davka making the opposite kind of food for him, and Rav Chiya and Chiya bar Rav tried to tell her the opposite thing. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. He says in the Gemara over there that even if she's not objectively the best, but he says, after all, a person's wife helps raise his children. She saves him from Avera because she gives him an outlet for his, she gives him an outlet, a kosher outlet for his desires. So that alone makes her worthwhile, even if objectively she's not such a nice woman. But yeah. Okay. In this connection, Amar of Kahana, my dichtiv ki hu Amar Vayehi, we have a pasuk, we say every day in davening, ki hu Amar Vayehi hutziva vayamid, he, Hashem said it, and it became, he commanded it, and it stands. So what does that mean? Ki hu Amar Vayehi zu isha, that means that Hashem said that people should get married, and that refers to that men get married to women. Meaning, as Rashi says, as the Gemara is going to go on, objectively, if it weren't for the Gzeiras Melech, if it weren't for the way that Hashem made people's nature that way, men would never want to get married. But Hashem said it, Hashem decided there should be either that men have to get married, and therefore Hashem put it, therefore Hashem implanted it into human nature that a person wants to get married, even though objectively, if he were to think into it, it might not be such a great idea. And when it continues, he commanded, and it stands up. Elubonim, this refers to the fact that a person has children. Again, if a person were to think about it ahead, they might not want. Children can be a big hassle. But on the other hand, Hashem put it in a person's nature that they want to have children, they want to have a future after them. And therefore it happens. So what do we mean? Tana, we learn in a Braisa. Isha chemes molei tzoya. A woman, after all, is like a bag full of filth. Opia moledam, and her opening, meaning the pia shalamata, the lower opening, moledam is full of blood, and yet ba'kolrots in acharea, and yet men are always after women. In other words, again, this is what we're saying, that if you were to think about it in those terms, you would be so repulsed, you'd be so disgusted that you'd never want to get married, you'd never want to have anything to do with women. But Hashem doesn't want that, because lo latoyo bra, lo shavis yitzara, so Hashem put it in men's minds that they don't think that way, they don't think about that neostikite, and instead they go and are always looking for women and to get married and to have relations and so forth. The Alter Rebbe brings this in Perek Yudalot of Tanya as the kind of thing, like a person who's having a lot of tivus on a person who's having a lot of tivus for znus or whatever, can use this kind of gemara to break himself of that, like shock therapy kind of remind himself that taka, after all, objectively she's mole tzoya and pia mole dam, and therefore that should help control his yetzahara. It means full of filth. In other words, also it means the filth of Shechva Zera, for example. Objectively, most people, most men would find it repulsive. You have a woman who already has Shechva Zera in her, and then wouldn't want anything to do with her. But still, a man and his wife find that, he still has an attraction to her even then. But the Alter Rebbe mentions that as a kind of thing, like a person may need that as shock therapy for themselves if they find that they have a tremendous taiva for this kind of thing. Somebody once asked me about that, and in that connection, also how you talk in the Gemara is saying such a misogynistic thing. So I told him, look at the Gemara a few lines before. We were talking about Barzilai HaGiladi. Maybe the Gemara, by putting those two things together shortly one after the other, is giving us a hint of what the Alter Rebbe is saying. When do you have to think Isha Chemes Malei Atzaya? If you're a Barzilai HaGiladi and you're shot of Fazima, so how do you break yourself of being shot of Fazima by keeping this kind of thing in mind? So we said Barzilai HaGiladi was shot of Fazima. We say he was very, very much into, and that's why he lost a sense of taste and a sense of smell and whatever. Yeah. Okay. Going back to the pasuk in Kehelas, the pasuk finishes off ki holech ha'adam al beis olamai. The person is going to his eternal home. What does that mean? Amar Rabbi Yitzchok Malam. Why the expression his eternal home bias? From this we learn that every tzaddik is given a place in Gan Eden according to his kavod. In other words, not base ha'olam, it's not just the place of the world, like all the whole world goes to the same place. Each tzaddik has his own level in Gan Eden. It's like a king who comes together with his servants into the city. When they come in, they all go through the same gate. So the same way everybody passes away in the same way, or Marsha says everybody goes through the gates of the same gates of Gan Eden, but then when they go to sleep, each person is giving a lodging according to his rank. So the same way, each person, everybody passes away the same way, and everybody goes through the gates of Gan Eden the same way, but everybody winds up in a different place depending on what they accomplished during their life. A few psukim before this, also in Kehelas, the Shlomo uses the expression that shachrus, which literally means blackness, and youth are vanity, or foolishness. So what's the expression shachrus? So the simple meaning of shachrus means when a person is young and their hair is still black. But the Gemara is darshaning it. The kind of things that a person does when he's young make his face black when he's older. So Rashi says it means still referring to Tashmish. Person indulges too much in Tashmish when he's younger. So now when he's getting older, then as we said, it has a bad effect on his health and therefore it makes his face dark. More generally, other Mephoshim say we're talking about more generally the kind of things, the kind of foolish things a person does when they're young, they come back to haunt him when he's older and he feels bad that he ever did such things. Rabbi Yitzchok also says that the worms that eat up a person in the grave are as difficult or as hard for the mess as they're as painful for the mess as a needle in living flesh. As the Pasuk says, also his flesh is painful for him. The Pasuk is talking about it, but when a person is buried, so what pain is there after he's dead is that the worms are eating him up. That's painful for the neshama. That's why it pays when worms don't even up. That's true, yeah. Amr of Chista, nafsha shel adam misabelas olav kol shiva. A person's neshama mourns for him throughout the 7 days after he passes away, shenema, because that same pasuk in Iyov continues for nafsha olav teval. The pasuk continues, his soul mourns for him. Now, how long is mourning? Uchdiv v'yasl olav evil shivas yom. And we find when Yaakov passed away that Yosef mourned for him for 7 days. So we see that the word evil implies a seven-day period. So for that seven-day period, the neshama is still mourning for the body that it had to leave. And why taka? Because after all, in the body, it had the opportunity to do mitzvahs, and now it doesn't have that opportunity anymore. As we said yesterday, b'meisim chofshi. They say a famous vort about either the Vilna Gaon or one of the other chachamim in his times, that before he passed away, he's holding on to his tzitzis and crying and saying, like, in this world, you can buy a mitzvah like this for a few coins, and in olam haba, all the money or all the anything in the world won't get you such a mitzvah. So therefore, so the neshama is pained by the fact that it has to leave the body, and therefore it's mourning for 7 days. So in this connection, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Mes she'en lo menachemim." Suppose a person passes away and there's nobody to sit shiva for him. There's nobody to be menachem. There's nobody to be menachem the neshama, which the people sitting shiva for the neshama helps comfort the neshama. Hochen yud bnei adam v'yosh b'mekaymei. 10 people should go and sit in his place, and should go and sit in his place. In fact, the Rambam and the Raiva disagree exactly what this means. The Rambam holds basically they should sit there sitting shiva for him. The Raiva disagrees and says there's no source for that. All the Gemara is saying is that they should sit there. So nowadays, in fact, the minhag is a person passed away and they don't have any abelim, so they still get a minyan together. They don't have people sitting there for the whole 7 days to sit shiva, but they have people go and daven over there for in his house in order to do good for his neshama. So the Gemara says, "Ahu d'shchiv b'shivah v'usei de Rabbi Yehuda." There was a person in Rabbi Yehuda's neighborhood who passed away. Loi hoyu le'menachmim, and there were no menachmim. There was nobody to sit shiva for him. Kol yoyma have a dover Rabbi Yehuda be'asora v'yas v'duchte. So every day Rabbi Yehuda would gather together 10 people, would sit in his place to sit for him or to daven for him. La'acha shiva yom mischazi le'bechelme de Rabbi Yehuda. After 7 days, this person came to Rabbi Yehuda in a dream. But Amalein, he tells him, Tanruach daitcha she'inachta es daiti. May your mind be at rest because you put my mind at rest. By gathering together those people, it helped the neshama. By gathering the people together every day. So we're saying Rabbi Yehuda gathered every day a minyan to sit where this person had been, where this person had lived and passed away, because he didn't have any living relatives. No, in other words, the person had passed away. The person was living in a certain house. He passed away without any people to sit shiva for him. So every day, Rabbi Yehuda would gather a minyan to sit in his house. So according to the Rambam, he would have them actually sitting there the entire shiva. According to the Raivad, he would just have them be coming there briefly for davening and which is how we do it. And yes, so and the mess comes to Rabbi Yehuda. Mess came to Rabbi Yehuda in a dream and told him, thank you, because you put my mind at ease. You helped me out with that. So in this connection, Rabbi Yehuda says, Kol she'omer b'fnei ha'mess yodea ad she'yisasa ma'golo. Everything that you say in front of a mess, he knows about it until the golol is closed up. Rashi says means the golol means the covering of the oren. Tosfos has a long discussion over here that basically it means the thing you put on top of the grave, like the slab you put on top of the grave. Whatever it is, the point is until that. Rashi says that golo means the top of the oren, and then the doifik, which the Gemara mentions in many places in Shas, you have the golo and the doifik. So Rashi learns the golo is the top of the oren, and the doifik are the sides. And Tosfos over here, and in a number of places, argues with that and says that no, the golo and the doifik are actually the golo would be a large stone that you like the matseva that you put on top of that you put the matseva that you put on top of the grave. In fact, in Yerushalayim in particular, and maybe more generally in Eretz Yisrael, I'm not sure, they have the minhag. You know, they have horizontal matsevas. Here in America, most matsevas are usually vertical. Although you go to the oil, for example, you can see. So according to that, golo would be the horizontal one that you put, and then doifik would be the things that you put underneath it to support it.
So in
Eretz Yisrael, there's no difference. I guess no, because they still bury it in oren, and then the oren goes under a slab. But yeah, I don't know. Okay. Anyway, let's go on. So the point is, so Rabbi Bar was saying that everything that you say in the presence of a mess until the golo is closed, the mess knows about it. So is it actually until Yisasa Magolol? Pligi bar Rav Chiya v'Rav Shimon b'Rebbe. So actually, Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon b'Rebbe argue about that last point. Chad Oma ad Yisasa Magolol. One of them says, like Rav Bohu, until the Golol is closed. V'chad Oma ad Akal Abasa. The other one says, no, even later than that, until the flesh is decayed, the mess still knows what's going on over there. Because the pasuk from Iyov that we quoted before, his flesh pains him, and his nefesh mourns for him. So we see that as long as there's still flesh to be pained, then his neshama still feels what's going on. Manda Omach, he sus magolo, the one who says until the golo is covered, he says dichtiv, because you have the pasuk from Kehelos that we just said, the yoshiva ofra ala oretz kishahoyevagam, and the dust returns to the earth that as it was. So as soon as the golo is covered, the person is in the earth. So then at that point, he doesn't know anymore of what's going on, of what's going on when people are speaking near him about what's going on. In other words, Rashi, just one second, Rashi explains, the pasuk says, v'yoshuva ofra la'oretz k'shehoyah, v'haruach toshuva elevakim, asher nesana, the spirit returns to Hashem, meaning as soon as the body is in the ground, then right away the ruach returns to Hashem and it doesn't know anymore of what's going on in this world. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But according to Tosfos, would be shloshi
when they put the matzeva on. I guess so. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Big
I guess it's a big enough gemina. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't
say anything bad near the mess. Yeah. By the way, in Brachas, we learn that actually the Mesim don't necessarily know what's going on in the world at large, but they do know what's going on with them themselves, which is what the Gemara is dealing with over here. When you talk about the mess himself, then he knows about it. That's what we're saying. Until the golol is closed, or until the flesh decays. Yeah. Obviously, yeah. Okay. All right, let's go on. The pasuk is saying that the spirit returns to Hashem who gave it. So it means give your ruach back to Hashem in purity, the same way as he gave you a pure neshama. Make sure you return it to her as well. You also return it to Hashem in a way that's to her. It's like a human king who gave out royal clothing to his servants. So the smart ones folded them up and kept them in a box when they're not using them. In other words, obviously he didn't give them to them just to keep in a box, but in other words, when they would be very careful. They're only doing work with them that's not going to get it dirty. The tipshim went and did any kind of malacha with them. Afterwards, the king asks for his clothing back. So the smart ones are returning them all nicely ironed and folded and clean. The foolish ones return them dirty. Samach HaMalach, Lekras Pichin, Bekras Lekras Tipshin. So the king is happy to see the smart ones, and he's angry about the foolish ones. Al Pichin Amar, Yenosnu Kela Lo'itzer. So the smart ones, he says, the clothing will be put in my treasury. Vehem Yehul Abateim L'Shalem. They will go home peacefully. So representing, in other words, that the neshama goes into Gan Eden, and the body is the body goes into the caver and stays there peacefully until Tchias Amesim. Val Tipshin Omar, as far as the foolish ones, the king says, Kele Yinosna Lakovas, the clothing is gonna have to be given to the laundry. Vahem Yishabshu Beis Asurim, and the people who did that are gonna be put in jail. Afa Kadosh Baruch Hu, Al Gufan Shal Tzadikim Oim, the same way Hashem says about the bodies of Tzadikim, he says the Pasuk Yovo Sholim, they come in peace, Yonuchu Amish Kavoisam, they will rest in the place where they lie, meaning in the caver. Val Nishmasin Oimer, and about their Nishamas, it says, Vahoisa Nefesh Adoni, Tzura Betzura Chaim, Avigail says to David, the nefesh of my master, meaning of David, will be bound up in the bond of life with Hashem, meaning it'll go to Gan Eden and be tachas kisei hakavod. Al gufan shel rishoyim u'ema ein shalom amar Hashem l'rishoyim. Meanwhile, the bodies of the rishoyim, the pasuk says Hashem says there's no peace for the rishoyim. Val neshmasin u'ema ves nefesh oyvecha yikal ena v'seich kafakela. And it says the Avigail continues in the same pasuk. The nefesh of your enemies, Hashem will sling it in the kafakela, in the hollow of the sling, meaning it's going to be slung around like a stone is slung around with a sling from one place to another. So Tanya, in fact, we learn in a brisa about that. Rabbi Eliezer, I mean, the neshamas of tzaddikim gnuzas tachas kisei hakavod. The neshamas of tzaddikim are hidden under Hashem's kisei hakavod. Shenema v'hoisa nefesh adeni tzurur b'tzurur chayim. So tzurur chayim es Hashem alekecha. I mean, implies Rashi says, so to speak, with Hashem in His throne. The shal rishoyim zomimos v'holchus. The ones of the rishoyim are muzzled zomimos malachin zomam malachin like a muzzle that you put on an animal v'holchus, and they're going along over there. Malach echad omer b'sefer olam, malach acham omer b'sefer olam. One malach stands at one end of the world, and the other at the other end. Makal and nishmas and zelazeh, and they sling the neshama back and forth to each other. Shenema v'es nefesh eveni kaladim b'seich kafakela. So that's the famous kafakela, which is one of the punishments of the neshama, after 120. In Chassidus, it talks about an idea that kafakela is that the neshama is shown what elikus is, and then it's shown, and then it's slung back down to earth, and it sees what gashmius is, and like it has that pain of going back and forth. It sees. It still has to, yeah. So, but the point is, in other words, he gets to see a glimpse of a lakus, and then he's torn away from it, and it goes back and forth. That's kafakela, which the author never mentions in Tanya and Perek Ches. That's when a person is involved in taivas that are mutter, but he does them for inappropriate purposes. So then he needs kafakela in order to clean him up. Marsha says, by the way, another meaning of kafakela over here is also the fact that sometimes the neshama has to come back as a gilgul. So it was brought up to in front of the kisei hakavod, and it sees what Gan Eden is, and then it has to be sent back to earth, like in a sling, to start all over again. So one more. Amalei Rabbele Rav Nachman shall Beinanim Mai. Okay, we covered the tzaddikim, we covered the rishayim. What about the Beinanim? Now, bepashtus here, we don't mean the Beinanim of Tanya. We mean the usual meaning of Beinanim, half mitzvahs, half averus. So what happens to them? Amalei, so Rav Nachman says, I'm glad you asked. If I had passed away, I wouldn't have had a chance to tell you this thing. And in fact, Ben Yehoyada says, Rav Nachman is saying, this that I'm going to quote you from Shmuel told it to me privately. He never told it to anybody else. So I'm glad you asked me, because if I hadn't, then when I pass away, it would have been gone and nobody would ever know this detail. Hachi Amar Shmuel said like this, Elu v'elu nimsorin l'duma. What happens is both the Nershoyim and the Beinanim are given over to Duma, which is the Malach in charge of the Ruchos. The difference is Halolu Yeshlan Manoach, Halolu Ein Halan Manoach. The difference is that the Beinanim are given over. Duma is in control of what happens to them. But they have peace there. They have peace in Gan Eden. As opposed to the Rishoyim, we said they have Kafakela and they don't have peace. So that's the difference. The Tzadikim go Tachas Kisei HaKavod. The Beinanim are under the rulership of Duma, but he gives them rest, and the Rishoyim are having to deal with Kafakela until they realize what the MS is, until they get cleaned up, as in the metaphor before, the clothing had to be cleaned up in the washing machine, so they have to be cleaned up in the washing machine of Gehenna, and then they also, now, finally, they're spotless, and they also go into Gan Eden, because Kol Yisrael, Yesh Lehem Chelek Olam Haba. Okay, so we'll stop over here, and we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Shkoyach, everyone.
Bye-bye, Alex.